Welcome. I'm so glad to see so many familiar faces as well as new faces. And that is one of the most important elements of this group, is that we do not have a high turnover in this group. This is a group that collects veterans, people. Hey, welcome. Glad that you are here. I was saying that, you know, this is a group of people who are here for the first time, but also, I mean, people who are here for many, many years. And it's a place where you can come and grow and stay. It's a place to come and grow and be equipped, but also then to really be connected throughout the year and throughout the years. And so we'll exhibit that today, and hopefully you'll experience that throughout the week and then throughout the year. We're also a mix of cultures. I come from Germany, and so my sense of what means to be on time is very set. There is no none at all of moving left or right on that. But I happen to have been born in the United States, and I travel back to the United States from time to time. And I was driving to a meeting, and I realized there's a train coming, and that means the road's closed. And that was going to make me 3 minutes late to a meeting. And I started to sweat until I realized I'm in the United States. No one is going to notice, and no one's going to care. And so we want to make sure that, yes, the sessions will start on time. That is a value of the forum, and that honors the group. We also understand you have lives. It may be that you get a phone call. Something just happened, and you need to respond. So for our group, we will start on time, and we will end on time. But for you and your lives, we understand if things will come up and we need to shift a little bit left to right. Okay? All right. Very good. So we will introduce the network, and that is a practitioner's network. This is understanding what it means to take all that you are learning about disciple-making leadership, and we will get into those terms throughout the week, and putting them into practice. And understanding that, oh, I learned this, and then applying it into a situation, that what you learned, and then as it hits the situation, is often not one-to-one. It needs contextualization. It might need practice. It could be that you learned this and you apply it, and it might not work the way that you thought it should. And so that's what we talk about in this network, is why didn't it work? What could work? And that is why you're sitting at tables like this, because we, Rick, this is Rick Hill, by the way, and he'll introduce himself in a minute, but we co-lead this network. We are here to facilitate the Holy Spirit leading us in understanding what is discipleship, what is leadership, and what does it mean to apply that in our context as well as the Europe as a continent. But we do not have all the answers. The answers are often found in the discussions around the tables and with time and in His grace. Thank you for the introductions again. That's, oh goodness, what is that in English? A taste? Yeah, a foretaste, that's the word. A foretaste of the banquet that awakens us. This network is a rich, rich feast of well-prepared input from people who practice and refine, as well as working it out in these small groups, as well as private conversations and prayer that we'll have throughout the week. And so thank you for already setting the culture that we look for God to establish among us. So that is the goal of this session. For those of you who are like one of my children, I want to know what's going to happen before it happens. You need to tell me what to expect for today. The expectation for this session is that we cast the vision and start to form the culture that we will then live out throughout the rest of the week and throughout the rest of the year. And that is very much learning from one another. It is very much learning from the Word of God. It is very much learning from our speakers. And then understanding what does that mean? There's information and there's wisdom. And those are very, very different things. Information is general, it's anonymous. Wisdom is particular and it's personal. and it's useful. And so we will do our best to simply bathe in wisdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this week through his Spirit and share that with one another. So the one piece that I would love to give you right now is something that you know, and that you know that it's true. But we're going to talk a minute about what it means. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know this is true. It's written in the Word. You know that's true because you probably have said it to others. And you probably meant it when you said it to others. What's happening in the pandemic, what's happening with the situation in Ukraine, what's happening in our personal lives, is that we have this situation where God is faithful, and then there's this really short but powerful word. Yes, thank you. But. And I happen to be a teacher of the English language, and some of you may remember, he should speak better, if that's true. Right. This word, but, has the function in the English language of simply canceling what was said before. Just think of another example. I'm sorry, but are you? Really? I mean, really, really? I'm sorry, that was wrong, please forgive me. Yes, yes. I'm sorry, but, and we're right back at the two counterexamples, really, of Luke 10. Of, well, yeah, I'm sorry, but I actually have somewhere else to be. I'd kind of like to help, but those things don't matter. And so what we will do today, tomorrow, next few days, is simply understand more and more God is faithful. Therefore, very different word. Instead of a caveat, it becomes a basis. It becomes a foundation of what we will then do based on that truth, based on that strength, and based on the beauty of that fact that then carries us. Because he is faithful, therefore we can, therefore we plan, therefore we will. He is faithful, therefore. So I wish for that to be our controlling idea for this session. He is faithful. What does that then mean for us? So I have a few thoughts prepared for us. And I wanted to start then with what does God's faithfulness then look like in action? I had the pleasure of driving here with Marek last evening, and we found some very, very interesting Slovak and Polish roads. That depending on your perspective, may or may have not been the way that God was like, yes, drive down that road. We ended up in a cow pasture, I think. And so it was one of those things where we had a lot of time to talk. And we got to the point where someone in the car said, you don't have a car? And I'm like, no, don't have a car. We live in a city of about 4 million people. It's a German city. It's very well organized. There's great public transportation that's available to everyone. We don't have to have a car. And we also don't have a lot of other things because God calls us in the ministry that he's given us to start something that does not exist, to see the latent working of the Holy Spirit that's bubbling under the surface, the kingdom of God that is not yet apparent, and to initiate a work, call other people to partner together, and then to see new dynamics of discipleship, of evangelism, and of church planting come about. And then as soon as that actually starts to express itself, we hire other people, we generate funds to hire other people to then take that on, and then we move on to start the next thing. So we don't have a lot of stuff. If you take a picture of our life And some people are like, you don't have anything in your living room. It's like, well, yeah, we have a couch. You know, we have things for people, but we don't have much stuff. We don't have a car. We don't really have a place to call home, per se. But if you take a picture, our life could look pretty sparse. And then last night, it came up in the car. But if you put our life in motion, you see God providing every single thing that is necessary for those latent pieces of his kingdom to bloom into like this mustard plant that provides weight for other things to rest on and to grow on. That is what our life looks like, is what looks sparse if you don't put it in motion, but as soon as you put it in motion, you see God's provision over and over and over again. And that is what we're about to see in Ephesians. So let me go ahead and show you the slide that we have. So this is the controlling verse for what we're communicating today. A section that I'm sure most of you are very familiar with. We're going to go ahead and read it just to make sure that it washes over us again new today. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. To mature manhood and womanhood, to the measure of the state of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, rather speaking the one truth in his perfect love, we, beloved, we are to grow up in every single way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is our goal for this session. This is our goal for the week. This is our goal for the year and until Christ comes again. And so I would just like to quickly hear back. What are the points that you say, yes, that's what I want this week? Just start popcorning it. Just say this phrase, this sentence, this element. Please, what did you hear? What is it that grasps you and that you want to grab onto for this day and this week out of these verses? Mm-hmm. Maturity in Christ, to grow in faithfulness, in wisdom. And as we know, this combination of discipleship and leadership, growth in and of itself is a gift of God. We can plant, we can water, we don't cause the growth. As leaders, it's a trap to think we cause the growth. Our job is to foster the growth. It's to fertilize the growth. It's to promote the growth and to help wisely guide the growth. With discipleship, people can grow and grow and grow, and they just start to spread out all over. And as we know, if things spread out all over, it can be completely disjointed and it misses the goal. Our goal is to help the growth have a purpose, have a focus, and an understanding. Okay, you're growing to what? Yeah, to his glory. Very good. Thank you. More.
Building itself up in love.
Building itself up in love. Mm-hmm. It is imperative that as we grow, we don't start to look at others and say, oh, look at how I'm growing. Or, look at how you're growing. That is not growing ourselves in his love. It is important to have that unity of love that bonds the growth and that doesn't lead to pride. It is one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ, that he is the master teacher and the one who washes the feet, the one who goes to all lengths to serve that idea of perfect wisdom, perfect humility, and love. That's the picture here. Yeah. More.
Also in verse 13, mm-hmm. I love the knowledge of the Son, not just knowledge about Christ,
yes.
But knowing Christ.
Knowing him. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfect. We have had some participants in this network in the past who wanted to gain a lot of knowledge of, about, and we are, bless you, we are definitely focusing on knowing him. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Not learn about, learn him. I think in English it's even a little bit limited. I think in German that phrase has much more power, perhaps in your languages as well. We'll get into this a little bit more on the third day, this idea, the Hebrew term of yada, of what does it mean to know? It is not an intellectual exercise alone. It is much more whole life than that. And we see that, of course, in this verse perfectly. The wholeness, the fullness of what discipleship is. We could spend at least the rest of today just on that phrase. Each part in its uniqueness, but then working properly, which suggests a prescriptive standard. And how do we deal with that tension? But also, and this is the part that we will focus on just for this session today, there is not one child of God that we can say, not now, or not later. We cannot neglect any single person for which God has a heart. And we can get into the leadership parts of that throughout the week, of setting priorities. You can't meet everybody's expectations. You will burn out. But in setting priorities, are we also recognizing that each and every person, I think it was at this table when we were recognizing you can't do it all, but how then do we ensure that each and every part is being built up into this fullness and functioning to receive and serve? That is one of our goals for this week. Yeah, to do that well, and that you don't burn out. Yeah. One more.
Equip the saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For the works of ministry.
For the works of ministry, exactly. Yes. I mean, we see that in a lot of these. It's doing this for his glory. It's doing this for his work and ministry. And to make sure that, I mean, and we'll talk about this again on the third day, and in I think the second session. It is very much about God at work in us, and very much then our joy and responsibility to shine as light in a dark generation. So what does it look like to equip? We'll get it. That's actually a really good tie-in. Thank you, Rick. It's like we planned that, even though we did not. But you've heard it multiple times today. So this is the ethos of this network. This network is also part of the ethos, the culture, the mission and vision of the European Leadership Forum to equip, to resource, to unite, but also to revive the church in Europe. I usually come into ELF a little bit tired. I didn't realize how tired I was until about yesterday. And I know that my reality is that we're dealing with probably about 10,000 refugees in Berlin a day of new, and trying to figure out how to help with that and how to resource that. But it is a luxury to be a traveler on the road with a mule, with a few denarii, instead of the one on the side of the road. And so we have a dire situation at this point in history where I think most of us are more tired than usual. We also have a situation where there are people truly suffering in ways that, as Peter said this morning, we just, some of us didn't see coming. We expect today that the Lord will pour oil and wine into wounds. We have experienced in the past people in this network receiving great healing that they weren't even expecting and that we didn't know of until we got into it. That is one of the expectations of this week. We cannot force it. We cannot plan it. But we pray for it. We also pray that there would be a great evangelism movement stemming from ELF. It was great to hear at this table, my whole job is to encourage and to equip people to evangelize students. But if we're not doing that through discipleship, you can't give away what you don't have yourself. We are to grow in the fullness, to equip the body. That is what Focal is about, what ELF is about, what this network is about. It is this beautiful picture that comes from Hebrews, the anchor of our faith is hope in the foundation that Christ has led, or that Christ has established and that he leads us in. And so we are to be open to the winds of adversity, but anchored. What happens to if there's winds of adversity and you and I are anchored in the hope of Christ, what does that do for the environment in which we find ourselves? What effect does it have if everyone is being blown by the winds and there's someone not going, ah! Sorry, I have a bad shoulder. I can't do it very well. What does that do to those around you?
Draw them to us.
It gives a redeemed picture of the situation. That, beloved, is leadership, is redefining what people think is driving the winds. It understands that the power of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is stronger than sickness and death and doubt and sorrow. It points us to the reality that, yes, there's a wind, but there is something stronger than the wind. And that's what is holding us in hope. The problem then is when we, as those who are being held by hope, also get tired, run out of ideas, get frustrated. And that is what we attempt to do this week. It's not to say, oh, how could you? To say, yes, yes, we understand. We've been there, we are there, we will be there. That doesn't mean that this hope isn't stronger. It just means, okay, we need to be refreshed. We need to be re-equipped and refocused. And that is the purpose of this group. Okay? All right. Two things. and then we're going to break up into more group work. Another thing for those of you that this might be your first time, we try and coach all of our speakers to compact really beautiful truth and rich input into diamonds. Like something that just is brilliant, but very small. So that then you have time to work it out. Okay, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for the people that you serve and lead? So there will be lots of time planned, and we pray that we will actually follow through with this for you to work in small groups and also private reflections. Another part of the dynamic that we look to fulfill is word and deed. Word is focusing in this network on the Word of God, of His true truth, of His inerrant message to us for life and faith and everything. It is also the Word that is expressed to us, that we are able to repeat what He has given us imaginatively, creatively, contextually, and the best way that I can try and translate this is heartfeltly, in a heartfelt manner, that people can tell that this is something that not only we know in our brains, but that we actually live in our true selves. And they can tell, you really mean what you say. And that comes from a true gift of teaching, when those that you are instructing, those that you are leading, really understand that you believe what you're saying. And so that is an important part of what we mean by word and deed, that it's truth and that we actually believe it. And some of us this week may be struggling to believe. And again, that is part of why we are here, is to say, that is part of being in this trench of disciple making, is that we can struggle to believe what we tell other people. And there's antidote for that. There's grace for that. There's fellowship and prayer for that. Next is deed. And yes, it is not possible for us to minister directly to people in Scotland and Germany and Slovakia, Romania, and the other countries that I am not coming up with in this moment. But it is possible for us to minister indeed to one another. For example, hey, can we please move a table? Can we please move this table? That's ministry indeed. But we also make plans to do what we say. So not only do we mean what we say, but are we actually going to do what we say? So we will be challenging you and, yes, encouraging you to make plans, to think about those that you work with who aren't here in this room. What is that that you have learned that they have to hear? And how are they going to hear it? What are you going to do in order to give that to them? Is it going to be today? Is it going to be written? Is it going to be in person? Please make that part of your note-taking. Who needs to hear it? How are they going to hear it? When are they going to hear it? And then we will also be putting into practice how we will be meeting and keeping each other encouraged and accountable throughout the rest of the year. So please keep that as part of your expectation for the week.